climate change is altering the world as we know it. For example, it's even impacting our water. Many people think of that impact as heavier rainfall in some places and droughts in other places. But did you also know that climate change can make our water less safe to drink? So how exactly does climate change impact our water quality? That's the checkup's question for today. I'm Lizzie McGreevy, Community Engagement Specialist at SideFX Public Media, and with me today is health reporter Elizabeth Gabriel.
Hey, Lizzie.
Hi, Elizabeth. So I've heard that waterborne pathogens cause over 100,000 hospitalizations every year in the United States alone. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how climate change contributes to that?
There are a few main ways climate change impacts water quality. The first is through increased rainfall during extreme weather events. When there's more rainwater than the ground can absorb, that leads to water runoff. That's when excess water, especially in cities that don't have as many grassy areas, collects pollutants as it flows down dirty city streets and yards with dog poop. And in cities with very outdated sewer systems, it can also cause toilet water to accumulate with that runoff. And all of those contaminants end up in water reservoirs that we rely on. The second way climate change impacts water quality is an increase in temperature. Harmful bacteria like E. coli thrive in warm weather. It's an issue for streams and rivers, but even more so for lakes and reservoirs. And not only does that make the water unsafe to come in contact with, it also makes it harder to refine it for drinking water.
Can you talk a little bit more about how this change of water quality actually gets people sick?
Some people end up with symptoms similar to food poisoning, like vomiting and diarrhea. Warmer temperatures have also led to an increase in algal blooms. The algal themselves are fine, but the toxins they secrete aren't. In Toledo, Ohio, for example, more than 100 people got sick when there was algae in tap water about a decade ago. And many people know that boiling water can make it safer to use. But actually, when it comes to algal blooms, boiling the water can make the toxins worse.
But I know that tap water goes through a variety of treatment systems. Is this not helping?
Even if there's a high level of these toxic organisms, depending on your location, water companies typically treat the water before the bacteria starts producing actual toxins. But Indiana University's environmental science professor, Gabriel Filippelli, says people should be worried about water that isn't required to be tested by the county or state.
There's a lot of people on wells, and nobody tests their well water unless you choose to do it. And rarely do homeowners who have wells test it regularly. And so if the well is contaminated with bacteria or with other harmful things, you could be drinking it well water and not even know.
Elizabeth, so this is a little concerning. I probably should have read this earlier because I live on a well. And I'm going to make a note right now to get that well water tested. And in the meantime, you can catch me at the water fountain at work. Because water is essential for all life forms, including us, our beloved pets, plants, bugs, creepy crawlies, and so on. So what are we doing to protect our precious water sources from climate change?
Oof, Lizzie, you should definitely get that checked. But in terms of solutions, we both live in Indianapolis, and you can tell there's a lot of construction. Some of that actually has to do with our sewer system. The multi-service water utility company, Citizens Energy, is in charge of a sewer system improvement project that's nearly 2 decades old. It's called the Dig Indy Tunnel System. The project isn't finished yet, but it's already reduced the amount of harmful pollutants that are going into our waterways. They say when engineers planned the project, they calculated how big the tunnel should be based on data they had at the time. Now, Filippelli at Indiana University doesn't think the new tunnels are sustainable since engineers didn't account for potential changes due to climate change.
Climate change has already increased our kind of flooding type rainfall by about 15% over the last 20 years. And we anticipate, based on our modeling, that it'll continue on that trend and go up another 15% or so in the next 20 years.
But Citizens Energy denies these claims. They say they will continue conducting post-construction monitoring on the tunnels once they're completely finished by the end of next year.
I mean, I know that there have been efforts to pressure states and the federal government into implementing climate change policies, but is it working?
That's a great question, Lizzie. For decades, the Clean Water Act has helped clean up water sources across the country by setting water quality standards and regulating pollutant discharges that go into water bodies. That changed after the Sackett v. EPA ruling last year. That's when the Supreme Court made a more restrictive definition of what qualifies as a water source of the United States under the Clean Water Act. Now, developers can sidestep federal permits and regulations, and states don't have to clean up as many water sources. I spoke with Burke Griggs about it. He is a professor of law with Washburn University in Kansas. He used Des Moines, Iowa as an example. The city sued enormous pork and meat processing plants and the nearby farms that let tainted water flow downstream.
But they're mostly exempt from the Clean Water Act. How do you hold them accountable? Well, the city of Des Moines could pass a municipal statute, a municipal regulation saying, well, you can't pollute the water. Well, that raises all sorts of legal problems because under the Constitution, federal law is supreme to state law. So it's very hard for the states to regulate themselves out of this.
So what I hear you saying, Elizabeth, is that it seems that water quality problems are not going away. And in fact, they will get worse with climate change. But the politics are so polarizing that it's become harder to solve these problems. So in the meantime, do I need to write a strongly worded letter? Do I need to speak to a manager? Like, what can we do as individual citizens to protect our water resources?
So Griggs tells me that people need to recognize the importance of civic and political engagement when it comes to water issues. Then there is environmental justice. Many of the older water systems with lead pipes, for example, are located in poorer Black and brown communities. But now, with gentrification and climate change, more affluent communities can also be impacted by poor water quality. Okay, I know that sounds overwhelming, but on a day-to-day basis, small actions can make a big impact. So, picking up your dog poop, which is a huge source of E. coli. People should also be careful when doing an oil change on their car so the oil doesn't leak onto someone's yard. Not fertilizing your yard also helps. But if you must, check the forecast and don't do it if it's going to rain in the next few days. Otherwise, the rain will wash those chemicals into our storm drains and they'll end up in the water system.
Elizabeth, thank you for that wonderful information. I will continue to pick up my dog's poop and I will definitely get my well water checked. And in the meantime, if you have questions about the healthcare system, questions you're maybe too shy to ask your doctor, or other health questions, please let us know and we can try to answer them next time. Until then, stay safe.